Just a really, really frustrating thing to happen, Tom Parry.
What is that, Matthew Boyle?
Well, imagine you were 40-odd minutes into a podcast and you accidentally touch a cable and then that podcasting equipment goes, nah, and then erases the file. Imagine that would be really frustrating, right?
You don't have to imagine, Matthew. It just happened.
It's Tom and Matt Attack.
Well, yes, we had a lovely Pokemon podcast for you.
We did, yeah. Well, like, those of you who aren't interested in Pokemon should consider yourself lucky because I talked in great length of my
hatred for legendary Pokemon,
my love of Overwatch, and Tom's dislike of Overwatch.
And my experiences with Batman Arkham Knight.
And my pickup of Arkham City Armored Edition for the Wii U.
So all of it with that, gone. With that out of the way,
yeah, exactly.
We've got to find something else to talk about.
No, now, right. So. I think we should at least go back and talk about Overwatch. Thomas,
okay,
you
Overwatch.
Don't like Overwatch.
I played the beta of Overwatch.
So did I.
Last weekend. And apologies, sorry, because we haven't done this yet on this podcast. We haven't been around for 2 weeks.
We should get into that. Sorry.
We've been busy badgers.
Yes, I went to Copenhagen, then I had a funeral. Apologies.
And
stuff happened.
I had my girlfriend over and Matt wasn't here last week, so we couldn't do a podcast. And that's just the way it goes sometimes.
It is.
And we give you a couple of Parry's pickups, which if you haven't already checked out, have a look at them. They're on the Blast Process YouTube channel. And you can find them on our Facebook as well.
Give them a look-see.
Give them a look-see, but there won't be another Parry's pickups this week. So it was integral that we actually do a podcast this week. Hence, we're back here giving
we're
you
back
what
on
you,
the horse.
What you demand. A Tom and Matt Attack podcast. And we're going to start off with Overwatch, aren't
we? Yeah, we are. Who knows? I may be able to save the other file, in which case I apologise if a secret episode sneaks out in between this one and the next
one. Don't apologise. I'm sure it'll be welcome.
I'm sure it will be, but we'll try not to talk too much about the stuff, but I believe we should talk about Overwatch just in case it is beyond saving.
Okay, yeah. I felt meh about Overwatch. As much as I like the design of the game and the characters, the actual gameplay for me, maybe I'm just not into these kind of team-based shooters. Maybe I just need something a little bit straightforward.
I think it is, though. I think as I'm going to stop referring to the old podcast. This is a new podcast. It is a new day, Tom. We shall not
bear
be bogged down by the old things. I think you can get what you want out of Overwatch. I think the game is so well-rounded in terms of its character selection and what each character uniquely does that you can find a character you like to play.
Mm-hmm. I played the big robot.
Yeah, you played as Bastion.
Big robot girl in robot suit.
Oh, shit, she's got a three-letter name. I can't remember her name.
I thought that looked fun.
The Eva lady. I did not like playing as her.
Okay, that was the last character I played of, and then I turned it off.
Who did you play?
I played as the popular girls on the cover.
As
the fast
Tracer.
One.
I did not like playing as Tracer.
No, I wasn't so keen on that experience either.
Yeah?
I played as someone else, but I've forgotten.
Right, okay. So I worked my way through the characters.
The ice one.
The ice one, yes.
Yes.
I did not like her either. So from the looks of things, you played as two tanks.
Yeah.
Because bear in mind, this was originally meant to be an MMO. There is still some MMO-ness in these characters.
Okay.
There are tanks, there are support classes, and there are just straight-up run-and-gun people.
Yeah.
I think the visual aesthetic of all of these people is very different and looks very nice. Mm. But also, that boils into their gameplay. The tanks, I did not really get any joy out of. I played as Winston the gorilla, and I played as the big knight that I've forgotten the name of, which has a big shield, and it kind of goes third person around you while you have a shield. And I realized that wasn't for me. I was just like, okay, I don't really like these.
I think I just played as the cute girls.
Yeah,
I think
fair enough. I played as Mercy, who is a cute lady who is a support class. And I got a lot out of playing as her. It was not only were you healing and then buffing other people.
If you can recommend to me more straightforward.
Yeah, well, I played as Widowmaker, who was the sniper.
Mm.
But when you're in close combat, if you don't aim down your gun, you just have an assault rifle.
Mm.
So you just fire in 3-shot bursts.
Mm.
But then when you aim down your snipe, you have a sniper. So for me, that was great because it meant that I could play short range and just get into the fray of things, even though I didn't have much health. But then I could also snipe people.
I think I've been burned by Battlefield 4.
I think you have. I think you're very reluctant to commit to a first-person shooter because of Battlefield 4.
I was very disappointed.
I told you going into Battlefield 4.
I can appreciate this wasn't for me.
I'm not a huge fan of Battlefield 4, but I've grown to love and hate that game at the same time.
That's also a game where you work together as a team. That's why I mentioned it.
Well, you should. I don't. As much to our colleague Jacob's.
Not that I'm against cooperative gameplay. It's just being able. If you're not playing with people you know, then that's difficult to have that sort of communication.
Yeah, and I mean, bear in mind, you were playing Battlefield 4 2.5 years after we'd already been playing it.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, we'd unlocked all of our guns. The same qualms you can hear me talking about on this very podcast of you get into the game and you have no fucking guns was something you were experiencing because all of the starter guns are shit.
Mm.
As an incentive to get you to play, but in terms of getting new players on board after the fact...
Mm.
That doesn't make any sense. They should have just given you all of the guns. They should just unlock everything at this stage because it doesn't matter
anymore. I think
it's
a similar situation with Battlefront.
Yeah.
At the moment, yeah, I did enjoy that when I played it last weekend. I was saying before the...
The thing died. I don't get any enjoyment from Battlefront.
Well, I found a new mode that's rather fun.
Yeah?
Where you have to protect the transport.
Okay.
So you're either the Rebels or the Imperials, of course. If you're the Rebels, you're helping this transport get through. The Imperials have to stop the transport from getting to the ship.
Okay.
So if you can hit the button, stop the transport, and then kind of just protect... Stop the Rebels from activating it again, then you win. There's a timer.
Okay.
And if you can stop it for so long, then you win the game.
Yeah.
Then the Rebels are trying to get it to the transport. So you've just got to kind of surround it and stop the Imperials from turning it off.
Yeah.
And if you stop the transport in the right place as an Imperial, then you do can have a good advantage and kind of set up your defences and so you can hold off the Rebels and win the game, of course.
Yeah.
That was quite fresh, I thought, and I enjoyed playing that mode quite a bit.
I just don't see, for me, like, why I like Overwatch is there's so much variety in those different characters. The fact that you could play as Tracer, who I didn't like. I thought the dash mechanic she had was a bit redundant. The ability to rewind time and heal yourself and go back a few steps so you're not running into an ambush was quite a cool idea that I hadn't seen in a first-person shooter.
Mm.
And a lot of the ideas that make the other characters unique are things maybe I have. But I've never seen them all in one place and give me so much uniqueness to a character. My problem with Battlefront is that even though I was playing and even though I was unlocking guns, the guns in the Star Wars universe are all firing lasers. They're not really doing anything that different. Sure, some may have a bit more damage. Some may fire faster. Some of them have a bit more range.
I wasn't bothered about that.
But ultimately, for me, it doesn't fucking matter. There's no incentive for me to play more and for me to do things because all of the guns are the same.
It didn't bother me about the guns having it.
I want them to do something different, though. I want to.
I like the fact we're using lasers for one, because it doesn't happen a lot in video games.
No,
you get to fire laser guns.
But what if I told you in Overwatch you could throw fucking shuriken if you wanted to? You could fire laser guns. You could turn. You could be a big robot who's really slow and cumbersome, and then you can kill enough people. You go, hey, I'm going to turn into a massive turret and mow everyone
down.
Variety
in the actual gameplay, because Star Wars Battlefront has got one thing. It's got a lot of different modes.
I will say this: there are 3 modes currently in Overwatch.
Yeah, and explain to me what these are, because I only found one when I played it, and that was kind of dull.
There's essentially a capture the flag type thing. Which is the mode I played the most of. I'm 99% sure there's a straight-up deathmatch.
Mm.
And then I'm not sure what the other one is. Like I said, I didn't say on this podcast, I only spent 2 hours with this game. I briefly played a bit on my own. I went through the training mode with absolutely every character to see who I liked and who I didn't like. And then I went into the main game and played a few rounds with people who listened to the podcast, as well as just pissing around and seeing what I liked and what I didn't like about the game. I hadn't pre-ordered this game. I pre-ordered it as soon as I played it for 2 hours. when I left and was like, I'm not going to be able to play this game now because the beta ends while I'll be away.
Mm.
I would really like to play more of this game, and I pre-ordered it straight away.
Okay.
Something I very rarely do with a game, and it's something I've never wanted to do after playing a multiplayer beta, of going, okay, well, maybe I'll get this. Things like Call of Duty. I think Call of Duty Modern Warfare is the only time I have ever played a multiplayer beta and gone, fuck me, that game's amazing. I really need to buy this. But I did. I sat around and I played with all the characters and I did the different things. And there's so much variety in what they do without the Battlefield 4 need for you to play the game for 60, 70 hours to unlock everyone and to unlock all the weapons and all of the scopes for those. You get into it, you do it, and then you can get out again just as easy.
I just wasn't feeling it. Perhaps you're right, I need to try it again. I'm willing to borrow it from the library if it ever is available.
I will get you over here, and I think we should do a TMA quickie when it comes out, just to show people. Because I honestly, like, fuck the hype. I don't care about that. Like, people going, oh my god, Overwatch is the next best thing.
I'm wondering how fun Battleborn is, because I've heard positive stuff about that.
Nothing good about that game.
Really?
Yeah.
Ah, oh, I'd heard it was alright.
I've heard it's terrible. Admittedly, they are from gaming podcasts, but I've heard no one say anything good about that game.
Okay. Because it's interesting that you know, that's out now, Overwatch is coming soon, similar sorts of games, I can imagine.
Well, Overwatch is a tactical squad-based shooter. Obviously, there's bits to it, and there's a bit of a, hey, you got to defend this point, then you've got to do this.
Unique characters.
But Battleborn is trying to create a MOBA. It is trying to create a League of Legends / Dota type experience.
Never played any of these sorts of
games. They do nothing for me. My cousin actually was in the funeral we went to. He was actually, at the end of it, he was showing me, like, I'm really into League of Legends. He said, I play a lot of League of Legends. Picked out his phone and said, I have the Twitch app on my phone.
Yeah.
He said, because I watch League of Legends when I'm not playing League of Legends.
Yeah, wow. I think it's amazing, isn't it, now? People watch lots of video games.
His girlfriend was texting him.
Yeah.
To say, man, you should watch the finals. Even though he was a funeral, he didn't. Like, his girlfriend was telling him, like, fuck, this team's just pulled off something amazing. Like, watch it on the replays.
Mm.
And they are into it at that level.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, something that completely passed me by. Obviously, when I was at uni, I watched people play Dota and I watched people play League. And
never been to the PC gaming, you see. That's
I could have been into it. Like, it was, it's back compatible. Like, I just, I don't know, there's something about the three-lane system of a MOBA and how you got to go about and the reflexes you need to
have. I've heard, people talk about it a lot, but never experienced it. Maybe if I played it, I might become an obsessive as well, but I somehow doubt it.
It's good, but I don't think it's for you. I think the amount of time and effort and teamwork that goes into it is something you don't like in video games. It's something I love in video games.
I will, however, put in many hours to Pokemon.
You will, yes. As we talked about.
Yes.
Or many, many hours, you are the very best, like no one ever was, etc.
I wouldn't go that far, but I did complete Pokemon Omega Ruby this morning. Became the Pokemon League champion.
Yes. How does that feel?
It feels great. I know, I was really elated afterwards. Yeah. I just wanted to stress how happy it made me feel to have come that far, because it was a struggle for me. I had to do the Elite Four many times before I was able to beat it.
Yeah.
Whereas our friend Maddie, he did it first go.
Yeah.
But for me, it felt much more of an accomplishment because using those Pokemon, pretty much I caught at the beginning of the game and I played through the game with them and managed to beat the Elite Four.
Yes.
So yeah, great experience. Still love Pokemon. Looking forward to Sun and Moon.
End game content.
Oh, also, yeah, there's extra crashes. Stuff. Yeah, straight after you finish the main game. I mean, I guess, you know, this has been out since 2014 now.
Yes.
Omega Ruby and Sapphire.
Radiant Ruby and Shimmering Sapphire.
As I'd like to call them.
Yes.
But yeah, there is an epilogue story to the game, which happens right after you complete it, which is cool to have that extra content.
It is.
I think.
It's always appreciated.
So great value for money. Pokemon hasn't got old for me yet. There was a time when I thought it had done, but then Soul Silver got me back into it, and I must say I enjoyed X and Y, Omega Ruby very, very much.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And it's not like the kind of game I usually play, really. It's something about Pokemon. That, because I don't play RPGs. I don't usually play long adventure games.
You do. Yet not.
It's the core creating a team, leveling up, the strategy of battling.
It's the gameplay, though, right? Going.
Yeah.
Like, that is the key hook of Pokemon. Is that the gameplay is so good that you want to play. As opposite to The Witcher, which we talked about in the last podcast, where the story was so good that I wanted to play and the gameplay was a bit meh.
Yeah.
And I mean, the story of Pokemon's never
it's
really
always
been
the same,
good.
Pretty much.
The one you were talking about, the Elite Four, I did see a meme on the internet the other day that made me laugh, and it was just like, girls ask me if I go to the gym, and I'd be like, and then there's a picture of Gary opening his lapel, and he had all the gym badges on there, and I laughed at that.
Nice.
Yeah. Anyways.
I've been buying some games this week.
On the PSN sale.
How did you know?
Well, Thomas, it's almost as if I got a feeling of deja vu.
Yeah, there's some real good stuff on sale, and I just couldn't resist it. Astabreed, which is a... maybe it is Astabreed or Astabreed, I'm not sure. What does that sound like? That sounds like a really weird game where you might be breeding something. But no, it's actually a side-scrolling shooter. But not just a side-scrolling shooter. It switches between perspectives, so you've got this third-person thing going on as well. And it does it so smoothly. It is quite a unique experience. You're piloting giant robots. It's very Japanese. The gameplay holds up really well, and it's really cheap.
Yeah.
So, £5. I was sold on just watching the video for it. I was like, oh, yeah. I felt I had to try it.
Yes.
And I liked it. Scapegoat 2, which is a puzzle game, which I've really been enjoying lately. I played the original Scapegoat back on the Xbox 360 indie store. I don't know how best to describe it, really. It's a 2D puzzle game where you have to get to a goal. So you have to let that goal escape. You've got to escape, and it's sort of like every screen is a different puzzle that you have to solve, and it usually involves... moving boxes and using a little mouse friend who can crawl in certain holes and do certain things. So it's a very cerebral game, which is really satisfying and very cheap as well.
Yeah.
I haven't played Talos Principle yet, but I picked that up based on the fact it looked really pretty and reminded me of Tetris on the CDI.
Yeah.
Because a puzzle game with beautiful environments. On the CDI, Tetris presents to you the typical Tetris with a full motion video background of nice waterfall.
Yes, you've told me it's
or
some, best game
a field
on the CDI,
full of flowers and some relaxing music. And I wondered, Talos Principle seemed similar. You got printed with a puzzle and a beautiful beautifully rendered environment, natural environment, whatever. And you had a bit of philosophy going on there as well.
Talos Principle has a very similar vibe to The Witness.
Yeah, I did think that.
Yeah.
This was £9. I thought that was quite good.
It's a pretty good price for it.
A game that looked at visually quite stunning.
Yeah, I mean, it was a full retail release, man. Yeah. Like, I got mine for £25 for a boxed copy of it. And that was after months of waiting, because I couldn't even find it in shops, first of all. And then eventually I found it in Calling Store Center in the GameStop, and they had it on sale, and I was like, finally, and picked it up.
Shadow of the Beast, great Shadow looking game. Pretty straightforward 2D combat-based gameplay.
Yeah.
Enough story there to keep you kind of intrigued what's going on, but it's not a story-heavy game at all. It's similar in concept to the original Shadow of the Beast, but it looks like there's far more emphasis on combos and fighting.
Never played the original. I haven't heard good things about this one. Maybe I will track down a Mega Drive.
I'm surprised you say you've not heard good things, because looking at the ratings and the feedback from people who've played it on the PlayStation Store, at least this is like a 4.5-5-star game. A lot of people have played it, rated it, and really seem to be enjoying it.
I will double check, because the two reviews I'd seen, one of them admittedly was on Polygon, gave it 4 out of 10.
Yeah.
And so I'd kind of...
I can't give it a score out of 10 myself, because I've only played it for like 20 minutes, but I liked it while I played of it. I didn't think there's essentially that much to it, but I like the design, and I like the character, and I like the simple gameplay. It's quite enjoyable. But I don't think this is a revolutionary game at all.
I think that's why they slated it. I just want to read their last paragraph to see why they...
Yeah, find out why they don't like it.
Give it such a low score. Actually, they give it a 3.
Oh, my Lord. 3 out of 10.
Right, okay.
That's very low.
Wrap up. Shadow of the Beast, This is from Polygon.com. Mm. This review is written by, to give credit where credit is due, Justin McElroy, who's one of the head writers of Polygon. If Shadow of the Beast is in any way effective, it's as a cautionary tale of the dangers of nostalgia. This revival appears to only be created by people who dearly love the original game, but it's so slavish in its recreation, there's no room for modern ideas to be injected or out-of-date ones to slough off. This entertainment decade has been defined by attempts to revisit games, movies, and characters and somehow enliven them with a modern audience. Let Shadow of the Beast stand as a reminder of some things, no matter how beloved, should, nay, must stay buried. As it's pretty much saying, it is so true to the original, it doesn't even fix the things that were broken about the original game or take into consideration that there's been 25 years of video games since then that have done this better.
And I think for some people, they're going to be quite happy to play.
I'm sure people will. I've been playing Mega Man Legacy Collection
from a video game.
I'm quite happy with it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it is £12.
It is £12. Yeah.
Seems like a pretty pricey game.
And it will inevitably go down in value.
I'm sure it will.
Picked up Vice City, which was £6. This is a PS2 game, playing it on a PS4. We had a brief conversation before this podcast about that.
Yes.
And how, should we be buying these games when we may have them on other systems? Is it worthwhile? It's debatable. It depends on the game. I mean, I own Vice City on the original Xbox. And that's not a system I have here in Denmark. I don't tend to play a lot. I really wanted to play Vice City, so I thought, why not buy it?
Why not? I mean, like my argument was I'd been given Rogue Galaxy because a colleague of mine, Fraser, had bought it for the PS4. And so it was like, well, you will look after this original copy. Mm. And I want to play it, but I haven't got around to it. But there's always the temptation of it being on the PS4 store.
Because of convenience.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was thinking. And I mean, it's why I've not... I really want the Uncharted collection so I can play Uncharted 4, especially if you podcast listeners were like, no, you should play the first ones. It'll be much more meaningful to play 4 with all of this knowledge in tow. Yeah. I have the first one. I don't have the second and third one on PS3, so I'm now looking at getting the Nathan Drake collection.
Yeah.
And I'm kicking myself because it was £22 in the UK and I should have picked it up.
And now I haven't bought Nathan Drake collection because I have them all on PS3.
Yeah, just too lazy to play them.
I could do. You know, it's not so much of a step back, really, playing on a PS3.
You did play the first one, right?
I did start the first one, yeah. I thought it was pretty good.
Saw that submarine in that jungle and went, ooh.
Oh, I was very impressed with especially the storytelling and the characters, likeable characters.
Yes.
And the gameplay was enjoyable, fairly straightforward, but well done.
Yeah.
You know, that's Uncharted.
It is, in a nutshell,
There we
put
go.
Put that on the back of the box. It's good. Tom and Matt Attack. Not amazing, yeah. Tom and Matt Attack.
I've also been playing Batman. Didn't buy it, I borrowed it.
Yeah.
So that was the end of my purchases.
It looks
much.
Good, but unfortunately you don't want to play Batman in a dark room all day.
I can only play Batman if it's raining.
It is right now.
At night. And it is raining at the moment in Arkham Knight. So
I'm sure I can dim the lights, put on some Nine Inch Nails for you, and I'm sure you feel right at home with Batman.
Thank you. It's a fine example of what's possible within modern video games.
Yeah.
The level of presentation and polish and seamless integration of gameplay and cutscenes and well-written and directed. And it's AAA. I think it's safe to say that. For me, the biggest change in the gameplay was the injection of Batmobile. Which I like a lot. I think it makes sense for Batman to drive around Gotham in his Batmobile.
Yeah.
I know, it had to be...
Is Gotham populated, though?
No, because the story's very clever at the beginning. All the people are evacuated from Gotham because Scarecrow threatens the city with a virus.
I want to populate Gotham, though. Like, you gave me this in Arkham City. Why?
Yeah. You kind of know why.
Yeah, but why? You know what
why?
I mean?
Why? Because it's like, too much for them to... The only people left in Gotham City are the criminals.
Yeah, of course.
And it's Batman's job to fight the crime.
But why have I got
to
drive around a big fucking city then? You
it's
know what
empty.
I mean? Give me the spectacle of driving around a city full of people as Batman.
Yeah, I mean, the spectacle of city is certainly there. But it's not populated. It's populated very sparsely by criminals.
Does it not bother you, though, that it feels so sparse?
kind of made me giggle a little bit to think, yeah, they're not ready to do that yet. Maybe the technology doesn't allow for them to have such a living, breathing city. But maybe
GTA 5 kind of proves that it is.
Or maybe they just thought those elements would get in the way of the...
Maybe, and I mean, it also does bring up a lot of questions about Batman, doesn't it? Of like, what if you hit people with the Batmobile? In GTA, it's kind of like a comic. Oh, shit.
Yeah. And Batman doesn't kill people.
Batman doesn't kill people.
Well, he does in certain
He does in films Batman vs. Superman. But
even in Batman Returns, he kills
yeah
a couple of times, I think. But generally, and at least in the Arkham games, Batman doesn't kill people. Yes. And that's probably why there's no people.
Yeah, I assume so.
Civilians, anyway.
Still a shame. I want to populate Gotham.
Because I was going to say, the gameplay itself is pretty similar, other than the Batmobile. Riddler challenges are now little race challenges. Yeah. I don't know if there's still traditional Riddler puzzles and stuff, but he has this thing where you go into a little race course and have to do these time trials.
Yeah.
Well, it's good to have the driving in there, I think. And also you can transform the car into a tank.
I hear this.
And that's quite fun as well. I really welcome the addition of the Batmobile, and I felt it had to be there to make the game a little bit different from Arkham City, because essentially it's rather similar, as well made as it is, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how I feel about that, and I'm borrowing that from the library, a great thing at Vejle Library here in Denmark.
It's a great thing if you remember to return your stuff.
Oh, have you got burned by that?
I forgot completely that I had forgotten to take back my copy of Halo 5, and...
No, what did they do?
Well, I've got a ridiculous fine on that and something else.
What's the fine?
It's like 5 kroner a day, but I mean, I've got 2 games out now and it's been like over a week and a half, so I'm probably going to pay like 20 quid in fines now. Yeah, exactly. See? You can get burned by the library as well, Tom. It's a hard lesson to learn.
I slip my little printed receipts into the game
so do I.
Wallet. So
but, you
I
know,
can
like, it's almost as if there's been a bit of a rush 2 weeks and a lot of.
Oh, well,
mind.
It's quite understandable. It's
oh,
not
well.
Normal
oh,
circumstances.
Well.
So that was pretty cool. I've played Batman, I've played Pokemon, I've played Vice City, I've played Overwatch. I've also played Motorstorm Arctic Edge on the PS2.
Yeah.
Which I picked up the other week because we went to Epic Panda.
We did. Here in Epic Panda.
Here in Aarhus, Denmark. Good little shop there.
Yeah,
they do
it's all right.
Popular culture merchandise, but they also sell video games.
And board games and comics.
It's cool.
Everything you want.
Motorstorm Arctic Edge was originally released for the PS2. Not PS2, sorry, PSP.
Yeah.
But it has a PS2 version. Didn't know that.
Neither did I.
It's great to play Motorstorm on the PS2.
I bet
I never
it is.
Thought I'd be playing a Motorstorm game because I associate that with PS3.
Me too.
But it's really good.
I guess that was a bit Call of Duty Big Red one.
Yeah,
is
sure.
That they must have gone, okay, well, we want a Motorstorm game on the PS3, but this very early days, we should maybe put one out on
and
the
And it's
PS2.
Not made by Evolution. It's made by Big Ben Interactive, I think. But it's still very close.
That's interesting because gameplay. That studio's a bit hit and miss. Their rugby games aren't great.
Yeah. Well, this one holds up well. Colin McRae Rally holds up very well after all these years
as well. Yeah, I bet it does.
The original. The handling is fantastic. I was playing this with my girlfriend when she was over here, and we played it for ages.
Yeah.
Just really good. I mean, the visuals are dated, of course. But for the time, I mean, they were rather...
Well, that's a PS1 game, right? I remember it looking good. I remember it being one of these games that was on the front of magazine covers because it looked so good.
Yeah,
so.
But it, as we've said before, if the gameplay holds up, then...
Yeah, exactly.
And it really does.
Yeah, that's good.
I mean, I could play this over a modern rally game just because the handling is so perfect.
Yeah.
Marvel Battlegrounds, I picked that up finally. The
really?
Power Stone-alike multiplayer... Fighting game,
Infinity.
Which I haven't played multiplayer.
Yeah, really?
No, I've only played it offline so far. But yeah, it's pretty much like Power Stone.
Yeah?
Not as good as Power Stone, of course, but it's a cool addition to Disney Infinity. And
there
I
was
guess...
a game released yesterday that you may be interested in.
Yes, I've heard
Steam
about Last Battle.
Last Battle or Last Fight?
One of the two.
And yeah, it's supposed to be very Power Stone-y.
Based on a French comic.
Yes.
Mm. Because it's on PC or Steam, I probably won't be playing it.
Last Fight, it is called.
Yeah. I'm getting confused. Last Battle on the Mega Drive, the Fists of North Star.
Yeah.
Thing. So I got 20 quid Marvel Battlegrounds. Quite happy. Quite sad at the same time that Disney Infinity is, no more. Or will be no more by the end of the year. Really been enjoying the Force Awakens add-on as well. It's on par with the rest of the Star Wars play sets for Disney Infinity. Really fun.
Yeah. Is what it is.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, and wow, I powered through that, didn't I?
You did. You got through that list lickety-split.
What do you think about that?
So, I purchased a lot of stuff. I'm not going to go into details. I bought a lot of Game Boy Color titles when I was back in the UK. Also got my copy of Star Fox Zero.
We played
for the
Star
Wii
Fox
U.
Just for this podcast.
We did. Despite me buying the hat and having the t-shirt and all of that jazz that came with it and the Falco
the hat,
and
the
Fox amiibos. I got my amiibo, so my hat and my t-shirt. I'm not really the biggest fan of it. For me, the gameplay, when it is being original Star Fox, when you're just flying on an on-rail shooter, that game is very good. However, that game tends to go a little bit too much on the focus of, hey, you should use the gamepad and look at the TV screen at the same time. And I'm not really a big fan of that. Admittedly, I've only played the first two levels, so I don't really want to get into being like, yes or no, but the first impressions it's left me with at the moment,
I mean,
aren't great.
Kind of forces you into having to use a gamepad to shoot certain targets because you have to be very accurate. And then the game keeps reminding you, like, if you want better accuracy, use the gamepad screen.
Yeah.
It's quite confusing to switch your attention between two screens.
Just want to fly and shoot things. That's all I'm going to do.
I think, you know, we have a nostalgia for the Star Fox games because they are relatively straightforward video games.
Yeah.
On the rails shooters. And that is, I guess, what most people want from Star Fox.
I could quite happily, like, if you look at all of the other Nintendo games and their iterations, with the exception of Metroid Prime, obviously, they generally make very good modern-day versions of classic titles. You look at things like New Super Mario Brothers. You look at Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze.
Even Mario 3D World.
Even Mario Kart.
Yeah.
Like, they are just making modern versions of those games. Star Fox, I think, for one is
admirable
one of these
that they tried.
They did. I mean, you know, if you look at it, and I mean, you look at the classic on rails, then moving into a free roam mode, it is very similar to Lilac Wars. And this is a lot of the criticism I've heard, is that this is the next evolution to Lilac Wars, but this should have happened like 20 years ago almost.
Yeah, it plays up to that nostalgia value by presenting it in a very similar way to Lilac Wars. And that's all great and all.
Yeah, but it fucks it up.
But
like,
it doesn't replicate the gameplay exactly. And that's where, unfortunately, it falls short, because it is, there's no arguing about it. It is confusing having to switch between two screens, because you're very limited in your view when you're on the gamepad screen in the cockpit view.
Yeah.
And it makes things difficult at times.
The game almost moves too fast.
But yeah, of course, you've always got the bigger picture on the big screen. But having to switch between two, it's not that easy
practice. It is not at all.
You can think, you know, on paper, that sounds like it could be quite good. In practice, no, it's a bit tricky.
But it also makes things just feel a little bit too clunky, like, because your R-Wing is moving at the same speed it should be, but then you're trying to flick back between two things. I always found myself crashing a lot into, like, towers and stuff while I'm playing the game. Because it's just too much going on for you to flick your attention between two screens.
It's more frustrating than it should be.
It is.
A real shame. But it was still fun.
Yeah.
I felt this about it. I felt I was a little bit frustrated by it, but I was still enjoying it.
But it could be better is my qualm with it.
I guess that's why it's a niggling thing about it, isn't it?
It is. And I mean, you know, for motion controls with gamepad, I'm completely behind. I mean, Splatoon is a great example of, like, making this, you know, so you've got the two cameras on the things and you aiming to shoot,
you know,
is a real great iteration. But, like, the fact you have to have a reticle reset button because you fucking lose your reticle all the time in that game speaks volumes to me that this is not the right way to go with it.
It's fine that it's there, but the game design forces you to use it. And it should, I think, always be optional.
It should always be optional. And
but the way the game is designed, it can't be optional.
But I mean, like, even the first enemies you had to come up against with these spiders that are crawling up a tower, you have to shoot them on a very
specific,
it's a big red
part,
spot on their fucking back. And you can't, like, I tried to play it the first time I did that mission on Con Aereo, and they took the fucking Con Aereo music away. Like, when Tom played it, I put the amiibo down and had the classic R-Wing.
Yeah.
And then it played the Konari music. And I was like, okay, I'm back on board with this. And then after the first bit of it, it took it away again. And I was like, I don't know. The music just doesn't feel as good.
But everything
Star
else
Fox
is
music
very Star Fox.
It is. But the music's shit. And that, for me, is a big part of Star Fox. Mm. I don't know. I'm very early days, but the two times I've played it now, I'm not really that incentivized to go back and play it.
Yeah.
I'm going to, because I fucking love Star Fox.
Yeah.
And as I say, this is coming from someone who is a real big fan of this game and has been even... I never played Star Fox Assault. Is that the one on the GameCube?
No, Star Fox. Oh, yes, you're right.
Yeah, I never played Star Fox Assault. And I hear
that one.
What's
that one on the DS then?
The one on
Command.
The DS is Command, yeah.
I've not played that. I've not played Assault either.
I have Command, I never played it though.
Assault, unfortunately, is assault on your wallet at the moment because.
It's very expensive.
You have to pay about 40 quid for it on eBay at least.
And it's not even that good a game, from what I hear.
From what I hear, but I've never played it. So.
Yeah, me neither. Oh well.
Oh,
one
well.
Day I will.
What I'd like to say about Star Fox, while we're still on the subject, is I noticed that there's a new variation on the R-Wing that you can transform into a two-legged robot creature.
Yeah.
Which is...
That's from Star Fox 2, though. That's from the one that never got released on the Super Nintendo.
Incredibly reminiscent of the Tails and Robotnik sections in Sonic Adventure 2.
Yes.
Really so. Really so. I mean, I got a feeling of deja vu as I played them.
Yeah.
Through, because also the environments that you traverse within the vehicles are similar as well, which is fine. You know, I thought those were much better than the Knuckles sections, at least.
Oh, God. Those Knuckles and Rouge sections in that game are fucking hard work.
Yeah. So that was kind of fun.
Yeah.
To see that being reused in this game. But as you say, it was originally devised to be in the unreleased Star Fox 2.
It was, yeah.
Yeah. Star Fox. I bought it myself. I don't have a copy here, so I won't be able to get stuck into it until I bring it back from the UK. But I too would like to get back into it. And then, you know, in a later podcast, we'll give you some serious impressions. Well, not just impressions, but a review of that game.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'll get more into it. Actually, I picked up something on the PS... End sale, I forgot to mention.
We
it's
did.
Actually Bastion. I rebought it, as you know.
Oh,
it's one of my favourite games.
Buying games still, yeah.
I've beaten that game. It was the first game I got 200 out of 200 for on the Xbox 360. I did the same with Transistor. Actually, the first game I got a gold trophy on for completion on the PS4. I really like Bastion. I really look forward to playing that game again. Anything from Supergiant Games, their new game that they're working on at the moment, which is a sports game almost that I can't remember the name of, looks amazing too. And I will buy that when that comes out. But yeah, looking forward to playing Bastion again. It is a game that I've beaten on multiple occasions on the 360. So I thought, well, actually, no, I'll just buy it on the PS4 and beat it on here as well. So I'm going to do that.
Ah, with games you like me with Vice City, then you know you like the game.
So for me, that's a perfect game. Like I have no qualms with Bastion at all. I think the look and feel of it, the controls, how the combat system works is a perfect game. I have some issues with Transistor, even though I like it.
But
yeah, Bastion's a perfect game. If you haven't got it, it's like £3 at the moment on the PSN sale, so you should pick it up.
I'm just having a look at what's come out recently.
There's a game called The Sun and Moon come out on the PS4 that I really like the look of. Very kind of fiddly, almost Meat Boy-esque looking puzzle platformer.
Yeah, I saw that too. Looked good.
I really liked the look of it. Yeah. I really liked the music. I really liked the visuals. Even though it was quite flat and very monochrome almost, it looked great.
Yeah, there's a lot of these smaller indie games on PS4 especially, which are really catching my attention right now. It feels like Xbox Live Indies all over again, but on a
different platform.
More accessible, kind of mainstream part of the... You know, indies are always shoveled off into the indies section. Now, on PlayStation at least, they seem to be embracing these games, and, you know, they're
as important
as the rest of them.
They're filling the gap of, like, 505 games, aren't they? These games are coming out that are made by small teams and small studios in the same way, like... budget or middleware titles were on the PS2. You're not getting your Michigan Escape from Hells and stuff from people you would from Suda, because the budgets for those studios to make like smaller games aren't really there, but you're getting now like one or two person teams in some cases. Axiom Verge is made by one guy.
Yeah.
And they're fucking incredible games because they're made by people with passion and people with heart, and they're a small bite-sized experience you can really get into.
That game, is it called Treasure Planet?
Yes.
The Sonic-like thing on the Wii at the moment, previously on the PC, isn't it, and Mac?
Yeah.
But that's a great example of a new game by a small team.
Yeah.
Which is really, really fun. Even progression to Sonic the Hedgehog, actually.
Yeah.
As well as being nostalgic.
I am starting to see a few, though, that I'm like, oh, why the fuck is... Why did this get made? Or why is this featured so prominently on the store? There's one called... There's one with a cat as the icon, and that's why I clicked on it.
Hmm.
And it's like, she wants revenge or something like that, it's called. And it's just like a Meat Boy-style platformer with this nefarious cat that's trying to kill you.
I think for every great indie game, there's one that's not so great. And it's harder now to kind of sift through the bad ones.
I'm still chasing Fez. For me, no experience has been better than Fez. Bastion is very close to that.
Yeah.
But I think Bastion and Fez are on a pedestal of what I expect from an indie game or what an indie game can be. And I don't think I've run into games as good as those.
Try Escape Goat. I mean, maybe it's not
as good
for as those ones. But actually, what Escape Goat does to me, it reminds me of playing an old Amiga game.
Yeah.
Which is quite nice. Cool. It's really solid. But what else? Come on, Doom came out, which neither of us played.
No, I want to. I hear it does the same thing that Wolfenstein did for Wolfenstein.
I've never heard you say that before.
Yeah, I know. Weird.
Homefront came out for PS4.
Yeah, that's not very good.
Yeah, I heard that's not very good, but it does include Time Splitters 2 in parts.
Yeah, which is fucking weird. But
I don't know how that happened.
Well, Free Radical are now absolved into Crytek UK, who made Homefront. I think Crytek made it, right?
So there's still Crytek have the rights to
Time Splitters. They also, because they bought that team, and then I think they are working on Homefront.
It'd be funny if people buying that game just to play a little bit of Time Splitters.
I don't think they will. I feared it's not worth buying.
No, why don't you just play Time Splitters on another format? But it might mean that we get a remaster of Time Splitters 2, perhaps, in the near future. I think that's probably going to happen.
This is just testing
the waters. Are people enough people talking about this hidden Time Splitters stuff in order for them to re-release it?
I hear there's hidden Doom levels in Doom in the same way they did the Wolfenstein thing, where you can find secret platforms and secret things, and you open the door and it's like a classic Doom room.
I'm really imagining Doom is so refreshing because it's really doing something a bit different. You know, no nonsense, balls to the wall, as they say, shooter.
Yeah.
Yes. Severed came out, didn't it, on the Vita? I still haven't played that. It came out 26th of April. But,
it did indeed, yeah.
That's a cool, unique touchscreen experience, making great use of the Vita, which, you know, not enough people are, talking about the Vita or developing games for that at the moment.
I think
nice console, but
at this point, even Sony are regarding it as a legacy format. Yeah. So they've pretty much washed their hands a bit at this point, which is sad. Severed, though, I hear is being called the last great game of the PlayStation Vita, made by Juicebox, people who made Guacamelee. And I hear it's a very good game. I want to play it. I just haven't got around to it yet.
Yeah.
Shame. But yeah, I'm on a.
And Super Hot's out, isn't it? That's been
Super Hot is
my
out.
Radar,
I'm kind of
it's expensive.
I backed it on Kickstarter. I still don't have my copy. Got in touch with the developer through Kickstarter and never replied to my message for my Steam key. So
that's no good.
I will not buy it again.
No.
But yeah, I will hopefully get a copy of that eventually and let you know, because that is a game that I've always wanted to play. Like, the idea of Super Hot is incredible, and it's something I've always really wanted to do. Mm-hmm. This idea of like time-based, time only moves when you do mechanic is something I've dreamed about in a video game for a long time, and I can't fucking play it. Oh well, eventually I will.
Hey, I also borrowed Resident Evil Origins from the library.
Yeah,
and tried playing the original Resident Evil again, the remaster of the remaster.
Yes. What did you think of it?
Resident Evil is, you know, is a bit of a relic now, the original Resident Evil, I think. And as you know, they've updated it slightly. I think the movement's different now. It's you've got a little bit more control. It's not the same tank controls that were in the original Resident Evil, which is welcome addition. But this idea of needing an ink ribbon to save and there being no auto saves in Resident Evil really irritated me.
Yeah.
Because I got so far, and then because I haven't played Resident Evil for a while, I got killed by a zombie, and I hadn't saved, had I?
Well, no, but I mean, that is the thing of Resident Evil, right?
Like, and I was reluctant, really, to start it again, because it meant starting back from the beginning. I had the opportunity to save at a typewriter at the very beginning, but I was like, no, I must look after my ink ribbons. You know, I can't just recklessly use ink ribbons here. I'm going to wait, and I got killed, and it was too late.
That's a shame.
But that is Resident Evil, but that is a very old gameplay mechanic.
It is,
That is really difficult to go back to nowadays, for me at least, and it kind of put me off playing it again.
Yeah. I don't blame you.
Yeah, but it is a shame, because I've played through the beginning of Resident Evil so many times now.
Yeah.
That I'm getting a bit fed up of it.
Well, I've beaten the original Resident Evil.
I never have, you see, and I've always wanted to, and I've always gone back to it to try and do it, but I have a bad experience, and then I never...
It's very hard. It happens.
Hmm. So, Matt, you're on your phone there.
I am, sorry. I've had this issue with eBay recently, of eBay couriers not wanting to deliver games to my house.
Yeah.
And I've just got another thing of like, hey, we couldn't deliver to your house because your address doesn't exist. And
your address doesn't exist?
I had a game delivered to me yesterday from this same courier, which is Frogger, and my address does exist.
Is that why you stuck that note up on the door?
There is a giant post-it note on my door now on a luminous green paper with my address on it because people aren't delivering stuff. But apparently this was today, and apparently they couldn't deliver to it. So giant green post-it note on my door... is not enough for this career, apparently.
I'm sorry to hear that, Matthew.
Yeah, so I'm going to take this frustration now, Tom, and write a very strongly worded email. So I think we should wrap up this podcast.
Yeah, I'm all right with that, Matthew. I think we've done a reasonable job of redoing the podcast that we lost.
Like I said, maybe we will release a podcast in between this one and the next one.
Let's not promise too much.
Yeah, I'll try my best. But I mean, from the looks of things, the file's corrupted. I'll see what I can do, but I don't
Pokemon
think so.
Pokemon fans, you missed out on me and Matt debating a lot about Pokemon, the future of Pokemon.
Yes.
The likelihood that they'll release remakes of Diamond and Pearl on Nintendo's new portable hardware, which they'll inevitably make at some point.
Of course, it'll happen eventually. But
I didn't see them doing it on the 3DS.
Yes. Well, maybe. You never know. See what the NX holds. Yeah. Tell you what would be really fucking cool is if they remade all of them, but in one game. So they made
what happened with the Gold and Silver.
Yeah. But you could go to every region and do all of these things. And beat all of
Pokemon
the gym leaders.
Yeah. Everything in it.
That would be fucking amazing.
And you'd be able to catch all the Pokemon
in their actual
in one
areas.
Game.
Yeah, catch them all, Tom. Got to catch them all.
Oh, well, that would be too good value for money, that would, wouldn't it?
It would. But, you know, then you just make expansions to that Pokemon game, I guess.
Oh, my God.
Your regions.
Could be called Pokemon World.
It could. A whole new world. Anyways.
Hey, think about that for a while.
If you like the idea of that, why not let us know? You can do that on Facebook at facebook.com/ Tom and Matt Attack. You can do it on Twitter at TMAcast. You can also go to our website, tomandmattattack.com, where at tomandmattattack.com/podcast, you can leave a comment on the podcast and say, yeah, that sounds like a really good idea. Or no, they wouldn't do that math. That's really stupid. If you do like this podcast, though, as well as listening to it on tomandmattattack.com/podcast, you can do so on blastprocess.com, because all of them are up now.
Yes.
And you can also do that
and
on...
And this one will be too, once
it's
ready.
Oh, maybe even the one in between, who knows. You can also listen to us on iTunes, where if you are not a subscriber, please think about subscribing and give us a cheeky rate while you're there. Go like, yeah, I like these guys. They talk about Pokemon games I'd really like to have. Or, no, I don't like these guys. They didn't podcast for 2 weeks.
And they haven't even played Doom or Uncharted 4.
They haven't played Doom or Uncharted 4. Yeah, but even if you want to do that, you can. We appreciate the feedback.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I'm going to go write a strongly worded email, Tom. So I
Good
will
luck.
Bid everybody adieu. Until next week, everyone.
Cheerio.
Game on.
Game on.